my flyers in, Pastor. So, but I do want to share a few things about our ministry. I want to tell you that I have brochures for anyone that's interested in volunteering or serving or learning more about what we do. But we are there to meet the needs of young women who find themselves in unplanned pregnancies. And we are there because, Pastor, I hope I can say this in the church, but abortion is wrong.
Oh, yeah, you can say it.
And it's unfortunate. Houston, Texas has two of the largest churches in the United States of America, and yet we are the house of the largest abortion clinic in the nation. I have heard several reports that it's the largest abortion clinic in the Western Hemisphere. I've heard that it is the largest abortion clinic in the world. And it is taking away a generation. And so in the African-American population, in our race with our people,
all right,
we are literally going down. So I, gosh, I have so many notes. I see myself getting on track, but I want to stay with my time. But I feel compelled to tell you that we have become quickly a society that says, if it feels good,
do it. That is right.
And you know what? That's not in line with the word. And so
amen.
I want to share a few thoughts and maybe go back to that. I want to, Pastor, just kind of whistle or something. I want to make sure that I stay within my time. But when he gave me the message, I didn't realize it was for you, so I'm going to try to taper it as I go. You guys, bear with me. I didn't know if I was going to be speaking to youth or adults, and I might have made it a little bit different. So if I can have a little bit of liberty, I want the kids to come and sit right here because I want you guys to pay attention.
All right.
Anybody who's under 18, you adults, don't leave. We need your anointing. Sit down. But I want all the kids, if you're under 18, I want you over here. I want you listening.
All right.
Because you know what? I heard a minister and he talked about, you know, that we've got to reach into the mission field and we've got to go out and we got to, you know, he was saying as Christians, really just be kind of this silent Christian and get into business and let God promote you and then say you're a Christian. And I sat there and I said, you know, just on paper that made sense to me. But in my spirit, it did not, because I felt like if I wasn't talking about Jesus at the bottom, I probably wasn't going to be talking about Jesus when I got to the top. And so I believe we have one shot. And so I want to talk to you kids. I want you to pay attention. And I want to tell you something. God made each and every one of you, and he knows the family that you were going to be born into. Did you guys think about that? That God literally looked down, and he looked down in time, and he said, I'm going to put, what's your name, honey? Samara, what are your parents' names? He said, I am going to give Samuel and Octavia a precious daughter, and I have things that I want her to do for me. Do you know in Jeremiah chapter 1, God said, he was up in heaven, and he said, I need a Jeremiah. And guess what? He said, okay, I'm going to put Jeremiah's mom and Jeremiah's dad together. And before they can have a baby, he said, I'm going to give them a Jeremiah. And he knew his name. Mm-hmm. And God knew you. And God loves you.
Oh, yes.
And he called each one of you.
My dad.
The word says in Psalms 139 that God knit you in your mom's dad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So at the moment that he put you inside of there, you know at school, they're probably telling you, when it was just a sperm and an egg coming together and you were nothing, that's a lie! You were somebody.
Yeah.
At the moment that you got in your mama's belly, you were somebody. And you were somebody great. You know, I understand. I thought about family, and I know I want to see a show of hands if there's anybody here who's raising children that you did not give birth to.
All right.
If you're raising children that you did not give birth to.
Yeah.
See, we ought to see everybody's hand, because we must go back to being a people group where it takes a village to raise our children. And it doesn't matter if you gave birth to them. It's time that we arise and stand and speak to our children.
She good.
I'm telling you, when I started this mission because I am one of those women that is post-abortive. That means I had an abortion. And I regret it every day of my life. Every day of my life. My husband and I moved here 5 years ago. When we moved from the moment, literally, Pastor, from the moment I set my feet in Houston, Texas, every movie that I watched, I remember when we moved into our home, our furniture hadn't even arrived. And one of my spiritual mothers in Farmington, New Mexico, that's where we moved from 5 years ago, almost six, she said, you got to see the movie Bella. Bella was about a woman who got pregnant. And a co-worker said, not the father of the baby, but a co-worker said, if you will just have this baby, I will raise him. And then there was a movie that came out, and I even bought the movie recently when God began to continue to deal with my heart. I said, God, why? I don't want to deal with this. See, I was a pastor's wife. I wasn't going to tell anybody I had an abortion. That was shameful. I'm laying hands on the sick, and I'm here to raise the dead and preach the gospel. I'm not going to tell anybody. But I got to Houston, Texas, and God said, I'm going to deal with that issue. And I'm going to bring 100% fear into your heart and mind. So I don't want to forget to say, I didn't bring my book up, but there is a wonderful Bible study that I went through. It's called Save One. If you've ever had an abortion, my private phone number is on this flyer. If you're not ready to tell anybody, but you need some healing, you've been in the church and God's been dealing with your heart, I'm available. I do one-on-one counseling. I will drive, I'll meet, I'll do whatever it takes because I don't want any woman to suffer that. But we must, church, talk to our kids.
Yeah.
We must tell them that life begins, conception takes place in the womb. And that wherever we are, I thought about families, I thought about how many different families there are in the Bible. You know, there's the traditional family, Adam and Eve, who have three children. But then there's the Mordecai, who was an uncle who raised his niece, adoption. There was a Naomi and Ruth. And Ruth wasn't even her blood child, but she took her in as her daughter. I thought about God. Isn't that what foster looks like? I thought about the single parent. Hagar raised Ishmael pretty much by herself. So there's single parents. There are all kinds of family in the Bible. You know, we look at Moses. Pharaoh's daughter raised him. We know the story that when Moses was found in the water, Pharaoh's daughter said, take him back to his mother. She didn't even know. When she saw Pharaoh's sister, she said, take his baby back, find a nurse. She said, I know a nurse who can raise him. She forgot. She didn't want to tell her. It was his mama.
Right.
But God is so good. Yeah. But then Pharaoh, the word says that Pharaoh's daughter brought him back. Foster parenting, adoption. It's in the word. We must be family to somebody. Find some child in the neighborhood that you can train up and raise up and tell these children every day. So I just have a quick list and then I'm going to sit down. I thought, what are some things that I could tell if I had 5 minutes, what would I tell somebody? I am professionally outside of having Hannah's Heart of Hope. The Lord blessed me to go to law school. And guess what, kids? I had a teacher in sixth grade and he said, little black girls don't become lawyers. But guess what?
That's
not true. So if we have any astronauts or scientists or engineers or doctors in the house, you can do it. Because God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But guess what? I got to tell you guys something else about that scripture.
It says, I can do all things if you trust the Lord. But guess what? If you're over here with your friends and you're being disobedient, you're being disobedient to your parents,
Lord.
You want to try some little things out there, do you think the blessings of God?
Yes, Lord.
We just talked about that last night.
Yes, sir.
Just coming to church isn't even enough. The word says study yourself. What does that mean? You have to study what God's word says. You need to be able to open your Bible. That's why when I hear some preachers, I'm like, wait, does that line up with God's word? Mm-hmm. I have to know what God's word says myself, so you have to study.
Yeah, yeah.
Mom and dad,
aunt, uncle, grandma, cousin, neighbor, pastors, everybody's not going to know it for you. You have to know it. Parents, I must tell you, so I interrupted my story, but I did become a lawyer. I've done criminal defense work. I haven't made a ton of money, but I've helped a ton of people.
There you go.
And God has blessed me tremendously.
Bless you.
And so even today, I rushed for my job, but I want to tell you, parents, look, listen, and learn. You need to look. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Social media is changing every day. I can't even tell you. Between Twitter and Instagram and this and that, the next day you hear something else. The next day you hear something else. Listen, any phone, any iPad, any Amazon, any Kindle, anything that you are paying the bill on, you have a right and a responsibility to look at. You ought to know what your children are listening to. You want to know what they're listening to.
Tight, but it's right.
You want to know what they're laying their eyes on. It's so easy.
All the passwords.
We know what's on the TV. Humanism and the secular world has infected our children. You cannot even, I said, Lord, I haven't started keeping a tally, but I'm going to. But I ask you, every show on mainstream TV, now guess what they're doing? They have desensitized our children, so now they think homosexuality is okay.
Because
Susie and Sally are over there kissing, and Billy and Bobby are okay.
And we watch.
Harriet and Ozzy, amen, you're a freak, brother. They carried, you know, Ozzy and Harriet in the 60s was on. Then we went down in the 80s. That Brady Bunch generation, that was my generation. Okay, we start talking about blended family. All right, that sounds good. But now you got three men and a baby, and he's living with, she's living, and everybody's moving in, and everything is okay. It's not okay.
It is not.
It is not okay. But if we don't bring up our children, I need to tell you, I'm going to go ahead and sit down. I'm not even going to go through my list. I want to sit down. But I want to tell you that God, I said, my God, the women that have come through the clinic, they're not even ashamed. They're not ashamed to say, this is my pregnancy and I want to abort it. They're not ashamed to say, I'm sleeping with Tom, Dick, and Harry. They're not ashamed.
You better say it tonight.
I advertise for a receptionist, just paying $8 an hour. But I say, God, I will not have anybody ungodly in my center, because we are standing for righteousness. If you only knew how many women, in fact, I got into an argument with a young woman. I said, Lord, okay, she's Catholic, but she's really serving you. I'm willing to say, accept that too. The woman said, I said, you're living with this guy for how many years? Do you take communion? So you have to understand, if I know the Catholic Church, they say communion is holy, like it is holy. But in the real Catholics, those that are really trying to serve God, they know that you can't be shacked up and have communion. But the girl got into an argument with me. Of 12 women that I interviewed, only three were even married. And two of them, I wondered if they were telling me the truth. And I said, I'm going to have to start seeing a marriage certificate. Now, I'm a lawyer, and I know what the law says. The law says you can't discriminate. So that means if a homosexuality comes in and says that they're qualified, I'm supposed to hire them. So I said, God, I choose not to. So I'm not going to hire nobody. Because I cannot have unholiness in my house. I cannot have unholiness there. We have got to take a stand. We got to teach our children. We got to tell our children to value marriage. I'm meeting women. It's not even men will ask anymore. The men don't have to worry about buying a diamond pastors, because the women are saying, I don't want to get married.
I don't need a man.
I can do it on my own. I got it going on.
That's what they say. That's what they say.
Just missing out. The last thing I want to tell you, please, when I said look, listen, and learn, please, kids are cutting themselves.
Independent.
Watch your kids. Look at them. Tell them to pull the shirt up. My daughter, she's sitting right here on the front row. She's in sixth grade. So I don't feel like eating. I said, hey, you will not have no anorexia in my house. I said, I will take you to see it. She's like, Mom. I said, no. So we have to nip it in the bud. We have to plead the blood of Jesus, speak the word, pray over our children, but we have to look and listen and learn. So as an attorney, I've seen many things, but I'll tell you what I've seen in the last year. There are so many foreign substances. The probation and parole and police department cannot even keep up. They can't even create enough tests to tell for all the things that our children are experimenting with. They're using bath salts. And guess what? You don't even have to go to the somebody on the corner and get it. You go online and order it, and it comes straight to your house. Look, listen, and learn. I've had young people smart in college. Handsome young men. Handsome, beautiful young girls. I had a young man. I represented him. This is this year, family, so I want you to know I'm talking about 2014. Family has tons of money. In fact, some of the people I represented I probably shouldn't have because all my work is free. I work for Public Defender's Office. But he had gotten a hold of some quote-unquote marijuana. There are variations. Marijuana is bad, and the variations are bad. But he said, oh, somebody told me I could see the Virgin Mary if I tried salvia. Hmm.
Good God.
This young man was so out of his mind that he took his car and he drove. He couldn't even remember to put gas in it. It ran out of gas. He was by the direct auto, so he just left the car in the middle of the street, walked through the back door. Direct auto sells vehicles. They thought they had several customers in there, and they thought the young man belonged with a family there, so they're kind of watching him, till he proceeded to stand on top of the table screaming, in a business, out of his mind. Mm-hmm. I had a dad who said, I took my daughter from her mom because she was... We were young and mom was on crack. I got her out. I'm a professional. Just last week, just a few weeks ago, I got her out of jail. So out of her mind. So out of, I mean, when I saw this young woman at the jail, 22 years old, skin beautiful, in college, working full time, had the same job for 4 years. Her hair was standing all over her head. She couldn't tell me her address. There's a lot of stuff out there. Train your children up in the ways of the Lord. Yeah. And don't be afraid to say, I take your phone from you. I take your laptop from you. I turn it off. You're going to study the word. Because God said, his word will not return void. Drag your kids to the church. Drag. If you have to drag them. Because guess what? The presence of God, the sweet presence of God that's in this house today, it will penetrate their hearts, and it will make a difference. So stand for your families. I have a lot of information, a lot of literature. Please, somebody comes to you and they say, but I'm not married, but I don't know, but I got raped. God never honors abortion. There's never, ever, ever. And by the way, the last thing is I close my Bible and I sit down. Those that are pro-abortion will say that, but what if a girl gets raped? It's like less than 0.0.01% that ever even happens. Stand for life at every time and at every cost. And bless your family. Watch